Those readings are so full of phrases that I could preach on. But I'm not going to be normal, I'm afraid. One phrase stabbed me quite openly when I read it. And I read it in the NRSV version, and it said, "They had no leisure even to eat." Jesus had no leisure even to eat. Wow, that word leisure, it's an unusual word to have, isn't it? So I'm going to talk a little bit about leisure, among other things. But the other word that springs to mind is the word pressure. A few years ago, nobody had pressure. Now everybody has it. You're a footballer, you're a pop singer, you're a star from this, that or the other. You're always under pressure. It might be simply that you've cracked your fingernail and it's going to be looked at specially, but you're under pressure. You're under pressure to do the right thing, to be here, to be that, to be saying the right thing. Pressure everywhere. But Jesus was under pressure. Have you noticed how much pressure he had in that reading? Perhaps you don't realize the background of what had been going on. He had been rejected by his home village. He'd been there and they hadn't wanted to listen. His neighbors and friends, the people he grew up with, did not want to know. He was also rejected by his family, who saw him as an embarrassment and wanted him to come back and be a normal carpenter. He was also under pressure from everybody around him. Everybody wanted his help. He tries to get away, but crowds race the boat round the lake to the other side, and there they are when he arrives. Expectations. He just fed 5,000. He's healed many. Surely he's going to do more and carry on and carry on. He's also under pressure from his disciples. He'd sent them out in pairs as his substitute. And now the disciples, full of joy and bounce, have come back wanting to tell him about what they've been doing. And they're anxious for a debrief, the modern word, but that's what it was, anxious for a debrief about what they've been up to. Jesus also had the pressure of his own mission that he wanted to fulfill. He looked around and he saw the people as aimless sheep. I used to go on holiday in the Yorkshire Dales. And if you want to see aimless sheep, go to the Yorkshire Dales. You can drive out onto a road, turn around a corner, and there's the street, the road, filled with these sheep wandering around, wondering what to do with life. They don't know what to do. That's why it takes only one tiddly little dog with a bit of a bark to sort out hundreds of sheep. They're completely aimless creatures. And Jesus saw that in the people around him. He has pity on them. They have no shepherd. He is called to be their shepherd. But he is also in a state of mourning. He is mourning the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. John the Baptist had been an outspoken critic of Herod. Herod had taken his brother Philip's wife without bothering to go through the procedure of a divorce first. And John the Baptist had said how wrong it was, and this had really upset Herod. So when the opportunity came, he had John beheaded. It didn't come about in the usual way. At a birthday party, his new wife, in inverted commas, allowed her daughter Salome to dance. He became attracted, volunteered half his kingdom in return, and she asked for John the Baptist's head. So John the Baptist was beheaded and brought, his head brought to Herod, and Jesus lost his cousin. But John had such a wide-ranging collection of followers that if John the Baptist was not safe, then Jesus was not safe. Herod could have killed him too. And that's why this move to the other side of the lake is significant. It's not just to get away from the crowds, but it's to get out of Herod's jurisdiction to a place where Herod did not have authority. They need to go to a quiet desert place, a place where they can be at peace, a place where they can talk and discuss. A desert was seen often as a place where God was important. Remember the story of Moses and the burning bush. Moses saw the bush burning in a desert place. God was seen to be there. Jesus had all that pressure on him, and parents will understand. Parents will understand some of the pressure when they are always on call for their children. Or carers too have pressure, don't they? Those who have little time for themselves but are permanently caring for other people, harassed by the need to care for a loved one, harassed by every hour of the day and night being on call, not able to remember the last time when they were freely able just to go out, wondering what might happen to their loved one. How can they get a period of freedom and peace and quiet? It says they had no leisure even to eat. It implies that Jesus did have some leisure time, and we know he did go to parties. But we all need leisure time to be whole people. How do we use our free time and time just to be ourselves? I remember a minister preaching on the theme of God's greatest gift, and he said God's greatest gift was the gift to say no. To say no when people crowd things in on you and make you do things which really deep down you know you shouldn't be. We all need leisure time to be whole people. How do we lose our free time? A time just to be ourselves and to become whole again. How many of you are gardeners? Any of you claim to be a gardener? Good, okay, good. You see, gardening should be a leisure time activity. But gardeners sometimes just garden for the sake of gardening. When do gardeners actually put the trowel down and just sit and look at the garden? Confess, when was the last time as a gardener you just looked at your garden and thought, wow, how wonderful. Why do we have gardens? It's not just so that we can garden. It's so that we can appreciate, if nothing else, the gifts that God has given us. To be able to look at a flower and enjoy it. To smell the fragrances coming off the roses. To watch butterflies and bees buzzing around. And to remember they are God's gift to us. How many times we just sat and enjoyed the colours and the delicate form of flowers. The Bible starts with a garden which is to be tended by Adam and Eve, a place where our life with God starts is a garden. And the last chapter in the Bible, in Revelation, talks about a tree of life springing up. Images of God's presence are there in a garden. In a garden we see creative love expressed in shape and colour, in plant and creature, as long as we take time to see it. So therefore, I logically feel sorry for people who haven't got gardens. Perhaps they find another way of being able to relax. Just sitting down and being quiet. Taking a book. Or taking nothing. Just a cuppa. We need some guilt-free time when we just sit down and allow God to waft over us. We just need to relax and let the world go by. Allow God to enter. We don't need words. We don't need actions, but just to be still and to let God be. In our family, such times are referred to as SBM. And I advise you to learn SBM. It stands for sticky bun moments. There are times when you say to yourself, I fancy a cake. I fancy a cuppa. And you just go and sit quietly, eat, drink, and let the world go by. And God is in that moment. It could be that you listen to music. You may not have a garden. You may let the waves of the music just wash over you. And God is in there too. And think what a great thing it would be for our blood pressure. Just to allow God to be with us. Do we make too much noise? Do we make too much fuss? Are we not allowing God to enter? Are we using our activity as a cover for not allowing God to enter into us as he would love to? No noise, no fuss. Just allowing God to be. If I ask us to be quiet for a while, will you be able to do that? How long would it be before you sneak a look at your watch and wonder if I've gone asleep over the lectern? Be still and be at leisure with God. God calls us to be quiet. God calls us to be aware of him. But that doesn't go on forever. After your SBM, you get up, ready to face whatever happens and whatever comes, whatever confronts you. Be ready to serve as Jesus did. He had his times of leisure. He had his times of sticky bun moments. And then he went about serving others. That is what we are called to do. To have a good, thorough examination of our lives and see how they are directed and how used and how we can direct ourselves to serving God. Amen.